Thank you for listening to the Redeemer Church podcast. For more information about our church, please visit www.redeemermidland.org.
Good morning. Y'all sing so well. I wish I could sing like that. Thank you guys for being here today. Thank you for worshiping the Lord and lifting your voices to Him. I know He was honored through your songs, and we are kind of in the middle of our celebration of Advent and the season celebrating the coming of Jesus. Advent, as Jason has shared with you a couple of times, it wasn't a specific command in the Bible, but it was something adopted by the church quite a few years ago, and we celebrate the coming of Jesus and the anticipation that's building in the arrival of the celebration of His birth, and then for us in the church, now we look forward to His second coming and His second arrival that we hope could be any day. I don't know how you feel about things, but I hope Jesus any day now would be good. Come back and restore your perfect righteousness and kingdom forever. But until that day, here we are, here celebrating and remembering Advent. So we've been through the first two Sundays, which were hope and peace, and Jason laid out for us what those things were. Today we get to spend our time together talking about joy. And when Jason asked me a couple of weeks ago if I would share and preach on this day, I thought, man, that is so exciting that I get to talk about joy. I was filled with joy as he asked me to preach about joy. And then I began looking and digging and realizing, man, I've got like 20, maybe 25 minutes to talk about a subject that really, I don't know that I completely comprehend and am still learning about in my own journey of faith, trying to figure out what is joy, what is the fullness of it, and where does it come from, and what does it give to us. So I've really been trying to figure this out on my own. So as I was filled with joy when he first asked me, then I was like, man, this is a really daunting task. I don't know if I'm really capable of doing it. And then I realized, you know what, I'm really not capable of doing it. But God is, and that's why He's given us His Word. And so the best thing I can do is just show you what His Word says. It's about the best I got. If you came expecting more, I'm sorry. I got nothing except the Bible to try to help you see this. I will say one thing is if you really want to dig in your teeth to what this idea of Christmas joy and true joy in Jesus is all about, I would defer you to a website that is has the ministry of one of my favorite theologians on there. It's desiringgod.org, and it's the ministry of John Piper. He has spent 30 years writing books and sermons and articles, and that's basically what he deals with is joy. So he's done it for 30 years, and I've got 20 minutes. So if this is intriguing to you, and I pray to God that it is, I would encourage you go and look and see what he has to say, because he's done a really good job of talking about and writing and publishing books about joy and what joy is. And so as we get ready to dig into this today, I'm going to ask us to pray and ask God that he would use his Spirit to open up joy to us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day that you've given to us. Lord, we are so amazed that we get to be here gathered with believers in your presence, singing praises to your holy name. Lord, you are worthy of all of our praise. Thank you for these amazing truths that we've been able to sing about. And Lord, now that we get to study about in your word, Lord, I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, open up hearts and ears and minds today, Lord, to see your truth, to experience the fullness of your joy. Lord, that you would be glorified and honored and magnified through your word. Lord, today we pray that you would teach us and help us to leave here, Lord, being joy-filled people. And we pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. If you brought a Bible with you, that's where we're going to be for our time today. Primarily is Luke chapter 2. I'm going to refer to a couple of other scriptures, but primarily we will be in Luke chapter 2. Before we get too far into this, I want to tell you, I'm going to assume something as we get into this. I'm going to assume that you know what it means to be happy or to be joyful. I thought about just kind of really unpacking what that means in the first place. What is joy? Where does it come from? But I think you probably know what it means to be happy. And I say this because we typically plan our lives around happiness, right? We don't go to to college and think, I want to pick the most miserable career possible. We don't do that. We don't think, I want to find the most unappealing, unsatisfying job that I can find and be miserable for our whole life. We don't, especially at this time of year, at Christmas, we don't choose gifts. And people say, what do you want for Christmas? We don't pick gifts that are going to make us sad, I think. We don't try to pick things and plan our lives around anything that's going to make us miserable. In fact, we do quite the opposite. We try to plan our lives around things that are going to make us happy. We try to seek happiness in most of life. We try to stay away from misery. We don't plan vacations around things that are going to make us sad and miserable. We try to seek happiness in this life. So I'm going to assume from the get-go that you at least have some kind of an idea or inkling of what happiness and joy are, and I'm going to use those words interchangeably throughout the time today. And in fact, I think God uses those words interchangeably throughout the Bible. In fact, just so you know, I was trying to think, and I'm thankful for Bible apps, and that we don't have to go to the old Big Strong's Concordance anymore. Anybody ever had a Big Strong's Concordance? Man, if you ever have to use one of those, first of all, the print is so small, you got to have a magnifying glass to see it. And then if you're going to try to look up anything, man, it can be daunting to try to find something. But find your Bible app. Thank the Lord for Bible apps. You can get on your phone and search. I went through trying to figure out, okay, is joy really that big of a deal in the Bible in the first place? So I started searching and adding up just with pen and paper and a calculator the number of times the word joy or rejoice or joyful appears in the Bible. And then I even added a few things that are synonyms of joy, like gladness or happiness, even the word blessed without the hashtag, trying to figure out, how many times does this appear in the Bible? And if you combine all those words, over 1,000 times in the Bible, the word joy, joyful, glad, gladness, happy appears. It's pretty amazing. The Bible's a happy book. You can see parts of it that may not be that happy, but overall, over 1,000 times in the Bible, the word joy or something related to joy appears. And so the Bible's a happy book. And the last thing before we get in this is I want to say that there could be a possible danger that comes from this message today, and I pray that it doesn't happen. But as we talk about what it means to be happy, joy-filled people, there's a possibility that you could go after your joy in the wrong way. So be aware of that and pray that God would guard you from that, because I think that God wants us to be happy. But it's possible that you could go about it the wrong way. So let's pray that God would keep us from that. So Luke chapter 2. Now that we've got all that out of the way, Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 8. This is what it says. It says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" So the first thing I want us to consider today is this. Number one, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy, and he is not opposed to your happiness. He is not opposed to your happiness or to your joy. And I'm going to speak to my own experience here. It could be a common misconception if you were brought up like I was, or even if you've had some bad experiences with church people, that there's not a lot of joy sometimes in the church people that we know, or in the people that I was brought up around. There's not a lot of joy there, and so why would anyone want to be like that? There's a misconception or misrepresentation by church people sometimes that they're just not really full of joy. In fact, they're really filled with anger and resentment, and they have a lot of complaining, especially when it gets around election season. And there's just a lot of not joy in these people's lives, and why would anybody want that? So there's misconception, there's misrepresentations. I remember I heard a guy speak one time. His name is John Randles. Anybody know John Randles? Anybody go to Texas Tech? I did not go to Texas Tech. I went to the University of Texas of the Permian Basin. So but I heard this guy, John Randles, before. He was giving an example of his son, who, when his son was in college, his son worked at a restaurant. And he said, really specifically, on Sundays, they would try to trade shifts with people because they hated working on Sundays, and they actually had a nickname for Sunday. They called Sunday Hell Day in restaurants because it was the restaurants were filled with people who would go to a church service and show up at the restaurant after service in their fancy clothes, sit around and complain and whine and gripe about everything. Then they would pray for their meal when the food came, and then they would be bad tippers. Tell me that that represents joy. It doesn't. It is an awful representation of joy. And so I want you to know at the very beginning, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be filled with joy. Look at Luke chapter 2, our text that we just finished reading. The angel is making the birth announcement for Jesus. He's telling the shepherds in the field that Jesus has been born. And look at the words that he uses in verse 10. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great," what? "Of great joy that will be for all the people." He doesn't say, "I bring you bad news of great sadness that will be for all the people." He says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And then he announces the birth of Jesus Christ, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." The very birth announcement of the God who became man, Jesus, was an announcement of good news of great joy. He wants you to be happy. I'm going to read John chapter 17, verse 13. Listen what Jesus says in his own words. John 17, 13. This is in the high priestly, John 17, 13. And he's praying for us. He's praying for believers. John 17, 13. Jesus says to the Father as he's praying, "But now I am coming to my joy fulfilled in themselves." It is Jesus' prayer for believers that we would be joyful people. Listen to John 15, 11. Jesus says this. He's speaking a bunch of things to his disciples. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Does that sound sad? Does Jesus want us to be miserable, griping and complaining people? No, his prayer for you and his hope for us is that his joy would be in us and that our joy would be full. Listen to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, 11. This was a psalm of David. He's writing this as a prayer to God. He says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That's just a few of the ones that I could share with you, that in God's presence is fullness of joy, that Jesus has given us his word and spoken these things that we would be joy-filled people. He prays to the Father that his joy would be in us. So God wants us to be happy, to be joy-filled people. And again, the very birth announcement of Jesus himself given by the angel is he was good news of great joy. So God wants you to be happy, and he is not opposed to your happiness. The second thing I think we see is this, that the happiness that God wants for you is found in him. The happiness that God wants for you is found in him. Back to our text in Luke chapter 2. You see this in the birth announcement. The happiness God wants for you is found in him. Luke 2:10 says this, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the thing Jesus' birth and Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel is announcing Jesus' birth, and in his birth he says there is a Savior who has been born to you, not a gift giver or a genie in a bottle or a wish granter. Jesus didn't show up with a briefcase full of money and tell everybody, I've got all this money, how can I fulfill all your dreams? How much do you need? No, the gift was Jesus himself. He was the one in whom fullness of joy would come. And the angel said at his birth announcement, in him was good news of great joy. It wasn't a gift giver, a genie in a bottle, a wish granter, someone who make all of our wildest dreams come true like Pedro. It was Jesus who was given as the gift of the fullness of joy. It came in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, the text we looked at a while ago, John 15, Jesus says, I want my joy to be in you. He didn't say, I want my gifts to be in you. I don't want all the stuff I can give to you. He says, I want my joy to be in you. So the happiness that God wants for us or for you is found in him primarily, that joy. Next thing. The happiness that God wants for you is not only found in him, but it is provided for you by him. The happiness that God wants for you is provided for you by him. Luke chapter 2, again, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In Jesus and in the saving work that he accomplished in his life, death, burial, resurrection, that is what provided for us the joy that God was going to give and be for us and to us. So the happiness God wants for us is provided for us by him. Galatians chapter 5, when it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, Jason shared this with us not that long ago. It's talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given as a gift to all believers. When he is given, what does he produce in us? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love,
joy.
The fruit of the Spirit produces in us. And the Spirit is given to us as a gift to all believers. And one of the things that he produces in us as a gift is joy. He produces that joy in us. Galatians chapter 5, and it is the gift that comes through faith. Ephesians chapter 2. How are we saved in the first place? If Jesus is the Savior, how are we saved? It is a gift. It is not something you earn. It's not something you work for. It's not something you hope someone will give you for Christmas in a box and unwrap it. You can't order it from Amazon. It is given as a gift through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, we are saved by grace through faith in him and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So it's provided for us through faith and faith alone in Jesus. Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It comes through faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. So that the happiness that God wants for us, it's provided to us as a free gift, and it starts with and comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ that we receive by faith. Listen to Psalm number 4. Psalm 4:7 says this. It's again a psalm written to God. He says, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. He's saying to God, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. And think about this in relation to where we live right now. Well, we live in the land of plenty, don't we? We live in one of the richest cities in the country. I just saw an article produced last week or the week before that said Midland is currently the hottest housing market in the whole country. The houses are just going for ridiculous prices, and people here are making money like crazy. It is everywhere. And so the psalmist says to God, God, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. We got grain and wine if we want it here. I mean, it is there to be had for us in the land of plenty. But the psalmist is saying to God, as much joy as that they could get from grain and wine, more joy in my heart than they have, more in my heart than anything I could imagine. You put more joy in my heart than they have when grain and wine abound. And even in Psalm 51, David is writing a prayer of repentance. He's committed the sin with Bathsheba. Nathan the prophet has told him, hey, you really messed up here, buddy. So he's written a psalm of repentance to God. And in that psalm, he says, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. His prayer is, God, I had that joy. I experienced it before, but it is gone because of my sin against you. Would you give it back to me? Would you restore that joy to me again, Lord? So the happiness or the joy that God wants for us is provided for us by Him. The next thing I want us to look at is that the happiness or the joy that God provides or that He wants for us and provides to us is eternal, complete, and secure. And it is not dependent upon material possessions, circumstances, or even yourself. The happiness or the joy that God wants for us and provides to us is eternal, complete, and secure. And it's not dependent on material possessions, circumstances, or even yourself. Psalm 16. I've already referenced it once. Listen to what Psalm 16:11 says again. It says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. So how much joy is lacking in God's presence? None. There is fullness of joy in God's presence, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. When does that joy and that pleasure end? It never ends. In His right hand are pleasures forevermore. So the joy that He gives is eternal. John chapter 16, when Jesus is speaking of that joy, He says this in John 16:22. He says, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. No one will take your joy from you. So not only is the joy that Jesus gives us, it's been provided for us, not only is it eternal, it is full, complete, and it is secure. It is there forever, and no one can take it away. Let me tell you, if Jesus says, I'm going to give you something and no one can take it away, you can take that to the bank. That is the full word of God given to you. He's going to give us joy that is both eternal, secure, and complete in this life, now and forever. And finally, Luke chapter 2, our text where we started. Luke chapter 2. And I'm so thankful for this. Not only is the joy that God wants for us eternal, complete, and secure, it is not dependent upon me or anyone else around me or anything I could have. Look at Luke 2, verse 10. The angel said to them, to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The joy that God wants for us and is provided to us is not dependent upon anything around us. It is dependent upon Him and the eternal God who has existed before creation. We just read about it in Colossians chapter 1, the one through whom all things were made and existed before all things. That Jesus is the same Jesus who came, born of Mary, born into the world, the one we just read about that the angels announced. And so our joy is in Him, and it is full and it is complete, and it is not dependent upon circumstances. And I am so thankful that it is not dependent upon circumstances. So thinking through all this, that God wants us to be happy, that He wants us to be happy in Him, that the joy or the happiness that He wants for us is provided to us, and it is free, and that happiness He wants for us and provides to us is eternal, complete, and secure, not dependent on circumstances. What do we do with all that? So the first thing I want us to consider, in God when the world is a miserable place. How do I be happy in God when the world is a miserable place? It doesn't take long to figure out that there is misery and suffering and lack of joy all around us. We might be happy, but all around us there is joy. And here's how I think you have it and find it and remember that joy that God's given is, we must have a view of life that is temporary. We must have a view of this life that is temporary. And what that means is that no matter how much suffering and how much pain and how much evil there is around us, it will all end one day. It will all come to an end one day. So how do I be happy when the world around me is miserable? Have a view of eternity that the psalmist wrote about when he says, in your presence there is fullness of joy forevermore. Have a view of life in this life that is temporary. Well, how do I be happy when my personal life circumstances are unpleasant and miserable? Because you might look, you might think, I'm okay, but the world around me is a mess. But then some of you may be in a position where you're like, I am without joy. I don't have happiness. I am miserable. I would say the same thing. Is have a view that this life is only temporary and joy is coming that will be forever. There is a joy coming that will be forevermore. You may have misery for 20 or 30 or 40 years, but that is just a speck compared to the a joy that you will have for eternity with Jesus forever if you have faith in Him. And then the last thing I want us to think through, and especially as we consider this time of year, is this. How do I celebrate Christmas in a way that shows my kids, and I'm speaking of myself as a parent, how do I, and maybe you would think this of yourself, how do I celebrate Christmas in a way that shows my kids and others around me that my supreme happiness and joy is not in gifts, but it is in Jesus? How do I live my life like that? Because everything around us, in our culture especially, shows our kids and shows us stuff as you can get. Maximum and supreme joy is in as much stuff as you can get. Just turn on the Disney Channel and watch the commercials. I don't watch the Disney Channel. My kids watch the Disney Channel, but I kind of, you know, see it because they've got it on. They never show kids in commercials having a bad time. Right? I mean, these kids are really, really happy with the stuff that they're promoting. They're really happy in it. And even think about commercials that are targeted towards adults. Do you ever see commercials on TV where people are having a really bad time? No, because they want to sell you something that they think is going to give you joy. Even look at the commercials that are about things that are unpleasant, like things that have to do with medicine. Do they ever show those people having a bad time? No. They show them having a really good time, and they're trying to say, this medicine can really make you have a good time. So everything in our culture is trying to help us see that we can have a lot of joy with stuff. How do I live as a parent and try to teach my kids that stuff is okay and there's nothing wrong with it? But it is going to leave you wanting more. It is going to leave you with a void that's wanting more joy, and you're going to seek it in more stuff. How do I show my kids that they can find it ultimately and fully in Jesus? I think the answer is in Philippians chapter 2. Listen to Philippians 2. Excuse me, Philippians 1. Philippians 1:20, Paul says this. He says, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How do I show my kids that Jesus and the joy that He gives and the joy that He is better than anything else I could get in this life. If God grants me the opportunity to speak to my kids on my deathbed, the moment just before I take my last breath, that I can look at my kids and say, everything that's about to happen to me and the pain that I've been through is nothing compared to what I'm about to see next. That the moment I take my last breath, I get to be with Jesus. And that's the best thing possible. And what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, that I would say this to my kids, that I could say, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, but as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. If I can get to the end of my life and look at everything that I've accomplished, everything I've achieved, all the stuff I've got, all the fish I've caught, and say, that is rubbish, Alexis and Ainsley, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, that's how my kids will know. That's how my kids will know that nothing I could gain in this life, nothing they could get in this life, is anywhere close to being as valuable as Jesus Christ and knowing Him and being found in Him and in His righteousness. Here's what I want you to think. Do I have joy in the first place? Have you experienced the fullness of joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ? And if you haven't, there is good news of great joy for you. It is found in Jesus. You can repent and believe and be saved right now. It is a free gift that's been given to all who believe. You can believe today and be saved and experience that fullness of joy that comes through knowing Jesus. Second thing is, maybe you're here, maybe you are a believer. You're like, you know what, I've been a believer for a while, but I don't have that joy. It's not there right now. Maybe like David, maybe you just need to have a moment and say, Lord, I've forsaken You and I've been seeking joy in other things. Would You restore to me that joy of my salvation that is in You and You alone? Would You do that for me, Lord? Maybe you need to pray in a minute and ask Him to do that. And then I would issue one challenge for us parents, for future parents. Live in such a way that your kids see that maximum and supreme joy is in Jesus and knowing Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the day that You've given us here. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the amazing truths that we learn in it. Thank You, Lord, for preserving it for so many years so that we can have it today for instruction, for truth, Lord, so that we can see in, even in the very words of Jesus, that He's spoken these things so that we would have joy and that it would be full and complete. Lord, I pray for the times in my own life, Lord, where I've had joy in lots of other things that pale in comparison to You. But Lord, would You help me to remember, even in this season, these next few weeks, Lord, that in and through the gifts that are going to be received, that there's nothing that compares to Jesus, being found in Him, having the righteousness that comes through faith apart from the law. Lord, thank You for providing that to us. Thank You for giving us Jesus. Lord, we give this time to You and our hearts to You. We pray these things in Jesus' name.